Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week,
I always say, feel it. Feel every emotion. That's happiness, sadness. It's okay to laugh and it's okay to smile. Even at times when you feel guilty for doing that. And being like kind to yourself, you know, it's having that self-care, like you said, of surrounding yourself with people that if you do say, look, I'm not going to come to that dinner tonight. I'm not feeling 100% myself. And if people react to you in a negative way, they're not your support circle. I think it's nice to be always mindful of how others are feeling in everyday situations, whether it's the postman or whoever you're speaking to. I think my awareness and consciousness of how I behave towards others is extra alert.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday. Yeah, should be a cracking episode this week on the home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick and we have got a lot to get through this week. Thank you to everybody who supported the show throughout World Mental Health Day. Always a busy day. A lot of noise around there and a lot of people put a lot of focus into World Mental Health Day to get the message out there. So if you do have time, do go back through, you know, the hashtags, and there's a real lot of interesting stuff that's out there. But of course, it gets right into the mix and everyone's kind of fighting for it. That's why it's an absolute nonsense, really, that World Mental Health Day is one day a year. It just means everyone posts all their best stuff on that day. But yeah, do go back through your social media feeds, because there has been some really, really outstanding content out and about on that one. And hopefully we added to it as part of our World Mental Health Day special as well with Simon Gunning from Calm. Now, I was actually speaking to the team at Calm this week. As you can imagine, it's a busy time during World Mental Health Day week. And they were talking about some new fundraising that they're doing as well. You've probably seen those adverts on TV, you know, when it's Omaze and it's like this sort of like massive house that you can win. Well, Omaze, the team behind that, are actually supporting Calm as part of their latest fundraising drive. So I will put a link to that fundraising in the podcast notes as well, if you want to support that as well. Calm do some absolutely fantastic work, life-saving work. So it's always great to support them, but they're doing that through Omaze, which I'm sure you'll have seen on TV and your social media feeds as well. But do check that out. Now, Sadie is our guest. And Sadie actually ended up contacting Calm and reading a lot of their resources online, because within the last 18 months or so, she lost her brother, Alex, to suicide. And you can only imagine the thoughts and feelings that she's had in that time. And actually, over the course of the next 20-25 minutes or so, Sadie will explore the journey that she's been on and also maybe some of the lessons that she's learned from that experience, even in this sort of formative period after losing her brother to suicide. And obviously, any death to suicide is an absolute tragedy, but of course people respond differently. And really inspired by the fact that Sadie wanted to sort of share her story and also talk about what she's learnt about herself and how she can respond having faced such a difficult time. So Sadie's our guest on the programme this week. If you've been bereaved by suicide, I'm sure you'll resonate with some of the things that Sadie's talking about as well. If you hadn't, there's a lot in this conversation still about looking for light in the darkness, trying to find a way forward through the most difficult times as well. And I hope that resonates for you as well. Sadie's such a great guest. It was brilliant to spend some time with her at the back end of last week. And she started off by telling me about her brother.
Yes, of course. So no, thank you so much for having me. It's always, I think before Alex, truthfully, it was always a passion of mine, but of course with everything that's happened, it's definitely come to light more in my life. It's very prominent, I think, for everybody in their everyday lives. But so my brother Alex, he was 31. He was a psychotherapist, a trained psychotherapist who lived in Streatham. So he was just starting out. And actually, it's interesting that he was in a job literally that specialised in mental health. So he was incredibly passionate about helping others. He worked in social care for a couple of years, and was just, I'd say, I mean, one of his friends referred to him as a gentle giant, because he was 6'6". So he was... and incredibly down to earth and just a really, really warm, kind person. And I think it's very rare to say this, and it sounds a bit cliche, and I'm not just saying it, but some people can make you feel at home. And that was certainly my brother, for other people as well.
In terms of an experience, it's obviously mental health has been a passion of yours beyond what happened there to Alex. But in terms of your awareness before and your awareness afterwards, have you found yourself sort of flung into a world of deeper understanding of the suicide crisis that some might call it, affecting people up and down the country?
Definitely. I think that now, with what has happened, it just, I guess when you see something on the news, you always think, oh, that's, so it's not as close to home, or you maybe can't relate to it as much. But I think the moment something, a huge event like this happens in your life, it definitely comes to light. And I think that, you know what, it's now more being conscious, I'd say, in the way of when I walk in a room now, I'm much more conscious of how others might be feeling. And I think that's a gift, because I think people, although we as humans tend to, when we're walking in a room, we do tend to be thinking, oh, what are they thinking of me? But I think it's nice to be always mindful of how others are feeling in everyday situations, whether it's, the postman or whoever you're speaking to. Is, I think, my awareness and consciousness of how I behave towards others is extra alert, which I think is a good thing, I'd like to say.
No, it certainly is. It's almost like a superpower that you've been able to sort of switch on, which is, that idea that there's empathy, or to look for to empathize, to look at people with a sense of compassion without having to ever think, well, I have to pity them or anything like that, is a real positive that you would bring to any circumstance. A room where you instantly start thinking about, right, who can I look out for? Is everyone okay in this space? That's a really special thing.
I think so. And I also think it's important that when you meet new people, is that you provide them subtly with a space where they feel safe. And that doesn't have to be saying literally, I want to make you feel safe. It's just your body language and really listening. And I saw a quote not so long ago, and it said, do we listen to respond, or do we listen to understand? And I think that that's huge. When someone's talking to you, it's being engaged in what they're saying, rather than, because there could be subtle signs. They're not always outwardly, I'm struggling. It can be, oh, I didn't sleep very well last night. And then that can lead on to conversations or anything. And I think it's always just, it's the art of noticing is a huge thing.
I've spoken to many people over the years who've been bereaved by suicide, and that sort of stigma has caught up with them in a way that maybe they weren't expecting. One that always stood out for me was seeing people that you knew, but they would cross the road so that they, not that they weren't terribly sympathetic, but they literally had, they didn't know what to say. They didn't know whether or not they should say anything, whether they were allowed to say anything, and they just thought it was easier to cross the road and pretend that they didn't see it, which is a really awful thing to do, isn't it? Really, I just wonder, had you had experience of that, where people were going like, "Should I? Do I say something? Do you want me to say something?" Did you find yourself going, "Here's what you can say to me"? How did that? How does that work within that sort of social environment?
It's a really great question. I guess, because like we've touched on, because it is suicide, I guess people do feel, is this going to upset her? Am I crossing a boundary? But I did have experiences, but I'd like to say that I'm quite fortunate that I have a great network of friends and family, and I'm also quite open with speaking about Alex and what's come from grief. And being grief, well, bereavement from suicide is obviously very, it's quite niche and it's more complicated. But I would say that I would encourage people that saying something is just, it can be anything. It can be a, I hope you're okay, to, it is nice, more than nothing. But at the same time, I can really empathize with the fact that people don't know what to say and they do feel uncomfortable. But I think it's just educating yourself. And I know Calm are really amazing at this. They are always putting guides on their social media platforms on how to tackle what to say. But I think that I think it'd be maybe wrong of me to say this is what you should say and shouldn't say, because we're all human and we all say things that we shouldn't say at times. But it's just, I think if it's coming from a kind place and you're genuinely concerned, I would encourage people to.
As a member of the sort of the young generation who are sort of like digital savvy and so on and so forth. I wanted to ask you about, can you remember what you did online when you first sort of approached the issue of what you'd just experienced online? Did you search for something? Did you, was there a phrase or was there something that you looked for or certain social media sort of presences that you decided to look at that was sort of like a Gen Z way of responding to an environment that maybe a generation before wouldn't have necessarily had that. What were those steps for you, sort of digitally, if you like?
Yeah, so I mean, first off, I think it was such a shock that naturally you, I think no matter how old you are, I mean, I'm 23 and I don't think it matters what age you are, but I think when you're in the scenario, everyone freezes. Everyone's response is obviously very different, but yeah, I did. I went online and I just looked up straight away was, how can I educate myself to grieve in a way that's healthy and isn't going to be detrimental to myself and also other people? So, yeah, I looked up. I mean, I guess in a way you could say I was fortunate that I had those guides, and I feel a lot of empathy for people that don't have those kind of resources. But yeah, I was straight online and I was looking through whether it was Calm or Mind or any of those charities. There's step by sort of guides that help you with how to navigate the emotions and also not feel shame, because a lot of what comes with grief from suicide is a lot of guilt, it's confusion, and actually anger is one that I think is, in general society, I think it's like, oh, they're very angry. It's almost like a negative emotion, but it's an emotion that everybody feels and is quite right to feel. So it's obviously depending on the scenario, but I think it's, yeah, I just tried to be as healthy as I could in how I dealt with it and was making sure that I was speaking to people and going online and you know, doing it in my own way, though, at the same time and being aware that everybody does grieve in a very different way. It's not just how you do.
Was there anything that stood out to you as like a piece of advice or a resource that almost gave you permission to have feelings that maybe you weren't sure that you were allowed to have or that were helpful? Were there things that you remember that made you think, oh, actually, yeah, no, I am feeling like that. And yeah, I can accept that feeling or I can do something about that feeling?
Personally, for me, you know, I watched a there was a radio interview with Roman Kemp, and he'd lost someone to suicide, and he said he actually openly said, I am angry, I am annoyed. And I think that was, I found that incredible, because I guess you, when you lose someone, not that that's what I feel, but I think that's pretty impressive, because there's a stigma around that we, I guess, shouldn't feel that emotion. But also I think through therapy was a huge thing for me, was just talking about it and working out each individual emotion that I was feeling. And a lot of that was obviously extreme sadness, and it was a huge, it's a huge, huge loss. But I guess just having people also say is not feel like you have to be fixed. I think someone saying to you, do you know what, it's okay that you feel like that. And I always say, feel it, feel every emotion, whether that's happiness, sadness. And it's okay to laugh and it's okay to smile, even at times when you feel guilty for doing that.
In terms of Alex's profession, so he was working within the mental health field. In terms of people's response afterwards, did people sort of mention that as a thing as being, I mean, some people would say, well, it just goes to show that this can impact anyone. But at the same time, he would have been aware of those sort of symptoms as well of poor mental health at the same time. How have you sort of thought about that in your mind about the fact that he was an expert in the thing that he was going through, and yet even he, as someone with years in
Yeah.
training, ultimately took his own life, knowing probably what he would have known about pathways through it and therapies and so on and so forth. Is that like an unanswered question that you've got?
I mean, yeah, most I think about that. That's a very blurred line that I do think about, I think, all the time. And it's quite confusing in regards to even my relationship with my therapist, for example. I think of it differently. Like, things come to your mind, can that person deal with what I'm saying? Are they in a good enough mindset? But I think, I guess, I try and separate the two. And I'd say that my brother worked in the mental health profession for a long time before he passed away. And it was something he was naturally very passionate about, whether it was a friend, a colleague, anybody. And I guess that it kind of transpires in a way that you can have all the knowledge, but that doesn't mean that you're 100% stable, you know, perfect in your mental health yourself. I guess it's really, it comes to light that it can happen to anybody, you know, anybody can feel those emotions. There's not a set person, and you can educate yourself and have an incredible degree. And I get, yeah, that's an ongoing question that I'm still working out. But yeah, I hope that helps answer.
No, it certainly does. I mean, in terms of, from my own experience of those sorts of thoughts, I'm aware of how, what's the word, insidious those thoughts are, that you can have all the knowledge in the world, but actually, when your mind starts telling you one thing, it tells it in a very persuasive way, and you almost listen to that and you think, ah, it feels like a real truth when you're hearing it. I've heard many people who've been looking for answers and struggling with their mental health and haven't been able to get a clear thought in their mind. But then the thought of suicide is a very clear thought, because it's a final sort of thought, if you like. And actually a sense from them that they were almost grateful that their brain had finally offered them something that they could imagine, which of course is the wrong step forward, beyond that point. But then these are people who are in crisis, and we don't know what those moments are particularly like, and we can only offer our compassion and our sympathy for them. But I guess at the same time, it gives us an added sense of thinking, right, well, what can we do? What can be done? How can we change those results? What are those steps that we can take? And I guess from your point of view, although people will talk about Alex as a mental health practitioner, you'll be talking about Big Brother. Like, you'll be,
Yeah,
there's a different relationship there, isn't there, within that family
totally.
environment, about the guy who taught you this or the time he took you to that. And there's that element as well.
Yeah, for sure. It's yeah, because he was obviously known, you know, as somebody's psychotherapist, as somebody's friend, as my brother, as, you know, my parents' son. And it's, yeah, it's because obviously we all know different versions of him, and that's the same with anybody in our lives. We see different versions of somebody depending on our relationship. I mean, I'd like to say anybody in my life, I'd like them to be their whole self and their version of who they really are. But I guess we all, it's a strange dynamic. I yeah, it's an interesting one.
In terms of talking about it now, does it help you to talk about it? Do you feel the benefit of opening up, either in a one-on-one environment like this, or maybe widening it out and actually thinking, well, I don't necessarily know how someone might respond to my story, but hopefully by hearing it maybe gives them an opportunity to maybe use some of the language that I've used, or at least get a sense that there is somebody else in the same circumstance that I'm in.
It's definitely, I think, I guess, you know, you're always worried when you do talk about a topic to a degree, you know, that's maybe had a bit more taboo around it. But at the same time, I think if we don't talk about it, I think that's the problem. And I, from this interview, all I would say is that sometimes I think people can come on podcasts and they can be like, this is what you should do, and this is how you should be. But I would never say that's, I would always say you need to be you, and you deal with things in your own way. And I would encourage, I think there's times in our lives where we are happy to show people a part of us that maybe seems generically more, I don't know, attractive to others. So you might be like extra funny, or, but actually, I'd say that your real friends and your real people that really love you will love all of you. And I think that we just need to talk about it more, and I and not be, not feel that shame. And it's also like, you know, for example, with workplaces, you know, you might ring work to say I've broken my leg, but you wouldn't ring them necessarily. You might feel more apprehensive to ring them and say, look, I'm really struggling with my mental health. And it's because you can't see it as much, but it's on par, and it's this, it's a, if anything, it can be a worse pain. And I've had so much support from my current workplace. It's been incredible, and that's really, I felt, built a respect and a foundation for me that makes me feel more confident to talk to people. And also, do you know what I would say is, I try not to be in people's faces, but if I do spot someone in a room that's on their own or they look, go over to them. Don't be afraid to say, like, how are you? You know, and yeah, I think if we all, because really when we're in a room, we're all secretly feeling the same. You know, a lot of us probably are like, what are they thinking of me? Or am I coming across okay? And actually, I think if we all just looked out for each other, I think it would be a different scenario.
When I first started out talking about mental health, I still use this word. So feel free to tell me it's a terrible word that I should stop using it, or give me permission to carry on using it. And it's this idea, I always say mental health journey, because what I'm trying to avoid is that thing that sometimes you do get offered in podcasts, and they've often got the word mindset in the title, but they go around and it's like, well, if think about it like this, and then everything will fall into place like this. Whereas I think, well, that's not how people live. Like, and that's why I always talk about the mental health journey as being, I'm in a period of grief, or I'm in a period of having a great time, or I'm in a period of like real growth, or I'm in a period where I've been really struggling. But actually, to recognize that that is a journey, and to recognize when you might need to step back, you might need to hide away for a little bit, you might need a break. You might actually be in a good place to knuckle down and be productive and get things done. But that awareness of the journey is something which we're all kind of on. And although you might be great 3 years later, you might be in a really different place. But did you learn lessons when you're in a good place that will help you out of that difficult place? And can you use the experience that you've had over the years to help other people, to help yourself, and to put yourself in that better place? And that's that sense of journey. There's not a destination there. It's just the fact that we're all traveling along there together.
I completely agree, and I life is, I think, I believe anyway, you know, it is like you said, it's a journey, and it's not, you can't have like a strategic plan in place. You know, you don't know where you're going to be. And I think there's a beauty in the lows that you have. And I know in the moment it's hard to see that, but without darkness, I don't think there is extreme light. And I think it's, and being like kind to yourself, you know, it's having that self-care, like you said, of surrounding yourself with people that if you do say, look, I'm not going to come to that dinner tonight, I'm not feeling 100% myself, and if people react to you in a negative way, they're not your support circle. And I would just say I completely agree that life isn't a straight line. You know, whether it's, you know, divorce or it's death or whatever you go through, you're going to have amazing times, but also it's preparing yourself for the times that are not so good and having that resilience of, do you know, right now is awful, but I've been up here, and it means that when you do feel on in those low times, it's really appreciating. It's like, you know, and you have an amazing day, and you know, you have to just cherishing every moment that you have, because yeah, you never know.
No, that's it. What a great answer. What a great answer. And thank you for agreeing with me as well.
I
Even more
agree.
importantly, the mental health journey just gives me permission to say, I've been saying it for 338 and 339 episodes now. So I'll continue using that phrase. In terms of yourself, obviously, you're obviously promoting the stuff now that Calm's doing. Using your voice now and your experience to help other people as well. Do you think that that's going to be something that's going to be part of your journey now, that in 10 years' time you'll be thinking, well, actually, maybe I will be in a place to be able to even have even different conversations about where we'll be, and the countless campaigns that are going on and changes that people are making to talk about how we talk about things like suicide and zero suicide ideas and all that kind of stuff. Is that something that you're sort of looking at from a distance at the moment, or is that something that you think you'll naturally edge closer towards?
Certainly, definitely. I think, and I think through that really hard time, it's opened a lot of, it's made me think in a completely different way of appreciating life. I'm actually going traveling for 3 months, and in that time, I really want to focus on just meeting so many people and getting to know people's perspectives on it. And in the future, I'd love to work. I'm sort of in the process of at the moment, but I would love to train as a therapist at some point. That's definitely something that's on my radar, is just because I really enjoy hearing even your perspective, you know, what you've got to say on it. I'm sure you've got far more to say than you've said. I mean, it's only a short conversation, but I really do mean that. And I think that, yeah, in the future, I'd love to work for a charity like Calm or, and just, yeah, highlight just how important it really is. And I can see that in the future for me. Even during this interview, it's been so great to just talk about it in a really human way.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. I will pass on your CV to the folks at Calm. I'm sure that they will keep it on standby. And when
Thank
you're ready
you.
to sort of take those steps, if you feel that that's the right thing to do, and I'm sure, you know, traveling and all of those things as well, which just expand those horizons. But I'm sure that, you know, Alex will very much be at the forefront of your thoughts for many, many years to come, and the experiences that you've had. But thank you for using that experience to sort of and sharing that experience. And then I'm sure many people who are hearing this, who maybe have been bereaved by suicide themselves, can see that there are reasons to be optimistic, reasons that they can maybe make plans for the future. If they don't feel like making plans for the future or going traveling or thinking about jobs, and that at least they know that that will be potentially part of their journey, even if they're not ready for it now. So I think that's absolutely huge. Thank you for being so honest as well about your story too. And thank you for joining us on the program.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciated it.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.